helps out a lot with it. Thanks a lot, Becky, who's also done some interviewing of witnesses. Hey, welcome back.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about the case of Norman
Friedberg
of Santa Cruz, who was beaten naked on Monday. And
please,
and I guess
beat his pants off.
And I guess he's going into court in Department 4 on July 2nd, which is next Tuesday, at 8:15 a.m. It is Tuesday, July 2nd, is that right?
Yes, do. Set your alarm clock.
Right, I won't be here, so someone else is going to have to do that. I'll be out of town on that date.
What about the breadcrumbs? The story that I heard from one of the Food Not Bombs workers, she said that the woman police officer came up and approached, Norman Friedberg, and, you know, accusing him of littering with the breadcrumbs, and he wasn't terribly responsive to her. And but the Food Not Bombs workers instantly said, oh, hey man, don't worry about it. We'll pick it up, but we always pick it up. And that the Food Not Bombs workers quickly picked the bread up when Mr. Friedberg didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But so and that seemed to mollify her for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought that that was kind of the end of the incident, but then she decided that she wanted to write him a ticket anyway, and that's when he became upset.
Well, we've seen this kind of police harassment. I've heard it from Dennis Adams, who's the pastor who gives out the excellent half-vegan, half-meat meal down on Pacific Avenue on Sunday, about the same place.
Yeah, the Potter's Hand.
The Potter's Hand. He says that the police, at least in the past, were harassing his clients for sitting near the Cooper House in violation of the downtown ordinances, which apparently forbids sitting 10 feet from any building, even a building that isn't occupied, that's completely vacant and that has never been occupied. It is, you know, one of those pointless, nasty, excuse to harass laws that I'd like to see people tomorrow tell the council members. Well, it's not going to make much difference what you tell the council members, but if you're going to tell them anything, tell them our problems downtown revolve to some extent around this blank check that's given to the police, this lack of oversight, and this tendency to believe that whatever the merchants want to do downtown is just fine in terms of blaming homeless and poor people and young people, you know, for everybody's problems. I filed a complaint, by the way, about this issue before the Citizens Police Review Board. I've asked for a public hearing, and I've asked for an early independent investigation and that the complaint be put into a public file. I did this yesterday or the day before, and we'll see if this new board, so-called new board headed by Mark Halfmoon, actually tries to get a real public hearing, because they have refused to do any kind of public hearings ever since they were founded 7 years ago. And so I would encourage any people who saw this to give a call, by the way, to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Give your account. You know?
It's interesting that Sergeant Velasquez's account. Lieutenant Velasquez's account, which he doesn't seem to incorporate a lot of the statements of the witnesses that we talked to, who were interviewed by the police,
mm-hmm.
and whose statements should have been incorporated into this report. So I'm finding that this report, that at least this Sentinel account, doesn't very accurately reflect what the witnesses we talked to were saying, especially the first sentence in this Jason Schultz article, where it says, a man attacked a community service officer who asked him to stop littering Monday night, and it took half a dozen officers to subdue him, police say.
So the reality is a man attacked a community service officer
approached a man who was feeding the birds and hassled him, and from according to the report, she was quite rude and authoritarian in her approach towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And when other people picked up the breadcrumbs, she decided to write a citation anyway.
And then stopped him from leaving when he tried to leave.
She didn't. I didn't hear that she tried to stop him from, at least not physically.
I heard that the officers did demand that he stop, but
She had decided that she was going to write him a ticket, and when you do that, you know, you do detain the person during the course of writing that ticket, and he didn't cooperate with that detainment, and instead crossed Pacific Avenue and making some sort of remark like, come and get me or something.
Yeah, you coppers.
He was quite rude and non-cooperative with her, and I think that that was really his crime.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the broader context.
His insubordination to the police officer.
Definitely, and I think
when he walked away, then she called for backup, and then the cops, you know, surrounded the guy. And the other report was, I heard that the first officer running out of his car with the baton, the first strike was Sergeant Butchie Baker.
That's a preemptive strike, certainly, if true. Now, Sergeant...
Yeah, that was at least one very close witness told me that.
Well, I hope we can get these witnesses all together. I notice, again, this is all being set into a mosaic by Lieutenant Velasquez to somehow indicate that this is all indicative of the downtown disorder that the merchants are complaining about.
Well,
and this is the kind of, misinterpretation that is perennial, and it actually amounts to a sort of a system whereby police either run around and tell merchants or businesses that they can't enforce the law, as they did during the controversy around the safe sleeping zones, and that merchants should show up and start demanding the laws be enforced, when of course they can't. They're talking about, you know, ordinary laws about assault and drugs and so forth. Or they over-enforce laws, provoke violent responses, and then blame those who are essentially defending themselves, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, making it clear, and of course the media covers this up too and presents the police view, that it is in fact the police and this kind of repressive practice that is creating the problem.
Well, he says it right in the article. He says, police say in recent weeks they have dealt with a handful of relatively minor encounters. I agree, they're relatively minor encounters in the downtown area that have escalated into confrontation. What they're not saying is that it's because of the police that there's been this escalated.
Well, there's a positive side to this, too, and the positive side is that people are getting pissed. People are saying, no, thank you. We've had enough of this shit. You know, people are getting together. I mean, we hear that Cop Watch is forming tonight in Loudoun Nelson Park. We're hoping that folks will come together for Streetwise at noon tomorrow in front of the Cinema 9. People are invited to come on down and get this. Actually, this is where this incident happened, in front of the Cinema 9. Maybe we should call ourselves the Norman Friedberg Brigade or something. His name? Friedberg?
Friedberg.
It is Friedberg. I mean, I don't know anything about this guy. I mean, I probably know him, but I don't know him by name. I'm just, I think it's time to start taking things back in hand, so that I think without a unified sense of what we're trying to do, and without kind of connecting up and supporting each other on the streets, this kind of stuff is going to get worse. And of course, as it gets worse, they will blame us. They will blame the folks out on the streets for these problems, and not those who are cracking down and creating them. You know, whether it's Borders managers, I don't think it's Borders managers that are doing this. The Borders wanted to allow Cosmic Chris to play in the alcoves. It was Sergeant McPhillips who said, no, we can't allow that. We're going to go to the higher-ups in Borders and try to, you know, make sure that these people don't play. It's not good, you know, to have these musicians doing this sort of thing. I don't know what they're looking for, a uniform crackdown on street musicians.
Maybe it's just like Pepperland, where the Blue Meanies just can't stand to hear the sound of music.
I don't know. Let's give some other people a chance to call in, though.
I did have one more comment with this. At the very end of this Jason Schultz article, they're talking about the writing in chalk on the sidewalk. It says, Police Chief Steve Belcher said it cost the city several hundred dollars to clean up all the writing on the sidewalk. Give me a break. This is chalk on the sidewalk in a relatively small area of the sidewalk. A garden hose can do that.
Well, wait a minute. They want to pay their hosers a living wage. Now, don't. Let's not deny our hosers.
Several hundred dollars.
Well,
give me a break.
Hey, thank you for calling, Vicki.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Lines are open here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We only have 15 minutes left, as usual. We've babbled on, but it's an important incident, and again, we'll be talking about it and other incidents tomorrow at noon at Cooper and Pacific as Streetwise gets together, and then as we troop on over to the City Council charade with Porter and Riley, who are going to have their one-shot deal and then suddenly come rushing back in and try to give the merchants, to pin a rose on the merchants. I think they're actually, you know, giving the merchants a run around the block here, because they aren't having a real community encounter, as Candy Jackson said that she wanted people to have, where all groups are actually just talking and sitting down at the table. That doesn't look like that's what's happening at all. Instead, you've got two council members interviewing a bunch of people and then going back with what looks like a pretty much prefabricated agenda, though when I talked to Martin Bernal, or got a message from him today, the assistant city manager, he denied that. I also spoke to activist Tom Noddy, who is a musician. He's a performer, and he's done bubbles downtown for many years and lives in Santa Cruz, and he helped evolve these street performers' guidelines. And Tom is always good for an upbeat perspective on things. As I get negative and grumbly, Tom is sometimes there to give a somewhat more positive perspective.
Tom Noddy, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, I'm on already. You know, you just one of those joke shows where you call people up from the radio and suddenly they find themselves speaking to the nation.
It's no joke,
right,
I'm afraid. We've been talking about problems downtown, and I know that you have been concerned about the situation for street performers and have worked on a voluntary set of street performers' guidelines for a long time with street performers, and you are often called by officials in the city to kind of come to these discussions when the problems get difficult, whether it's the drummers in 1996, and you and others, I think I was also involved in that.
Yeah, I think you were too.
But I wasn't called. I think I was. They tried to exclude rather than call. But
well, nobody called me at that time either. I kind of showed up, and there
well,
we were.
They welcomed
you.
Kennedy
meeting.
Welcomed you. But that's good. I mean, I don't mind if you get the plaudits, you dirty rat.
Oh, that's right. I'm getting all the credit for all the work.
But we were talking.
The real people do.
Yeah, right. The folks on the street do the work, and you, the big celebrity, gets all the credit.
That's right.
But actually, you've been. You know, you're off for the. I guess it's the what is the Oregon Country Fair soon? Or
yeah.
And you're a man who spent a lot of time overseas. You performed in different places in Europe. You get a different perspective on the different kinds of options that different cities have for dealing with street performers and street people. And I thought I'm suggesting to the audience you might have a more upbeat perspective. I don't want to necessarily, you know, vie with you or face off on different perspectives and how harshly we should criticize or not criticize the city council or the merchant community, but
mm-hmm.
What are the kinds of options are there? We only have about 10 minutes left in the show here.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know this really so much from Europe as I did when I was a street performer, mostly in the United States, some hitchhiking, sleeping in the bushes in Europe when I was performing. I should say I was never a great street performer.
I think you do pretty well.
Well, I did well when I got out of the wind. Mm-hmm. I do an act with soap bubbles.
Yes, you do.
So when I was on the streets, the wind controlled the act rather than me. Mm-hmm. I did have some satire with puppets that I did.
Yes, you did. The traveling puppets. I remember mm-hmm. them well.
But I don't put this forward as somebody who was, you know, one of the greats in the streets. I wasn't. But I wasn't. I did do it a lot. Partly because I wasn't so good that I really had to get lots and lots of those little quarter donations.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled a lot.
How do they do things differently, or what kind of ideas do you about how things might be differently organized?
Well, you know, for the street performers in Santa Cruz, I think that the street performers' guidelines is the ideal. I think this town worked that problem out. When I say the ideal, I don't mean it's a perfect world. It's not. But in the towns where the fights took place and court rulings ended up in the favor of the street performers, indicating that we are First Amendment protected, and we are.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, due to the fights, the result was reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions, some of which were not so reasonable when they came down from the courts. And you end up with a couple of designated areas, and you end up with sometimes you end up with auditions, you end up with a permit process that many performers can't afford, or performers from out of town can't be there when the time comes to allow the permits to, I don't know, I think they were all clumsier than what we ended up, which was kind of a vagueness and an effort to make a friendlier approach between the two sides. You know, when a performer gets out of town, he's handed a copy of the guidelines, hopefully by another performer.
And these are not legal guidelines. These are voluntary guidelines
exactly so.
That are up to the performer if he or she wants to abide by them.
That's right.
If they don't abide by them, then you go back to the ordinary laws
There's
of disturbing
laws,
the peace
you know,
and go to those laws.
Right? They can ring those up. You're right, exactly.
Right.
However, the guidelines, we believed what we were doing is writing down the unwritten rules of street performing. You don't claim a spot and hold it all day. You rotate. You let somebody else. You don't set up next to a guy that's already playing. You get down the street. You don't set up next to the hotel where the old people are sleeping and play your stuff as loud as you can. You be considerate of that. You move away from this. You kind of you know, and respect each other, the other performers and the
could
other
this be
people
used,
downtown.
Tom, could this be used with skateboarders, hacky sackers, perhaps spare changers, and street vendors? Could a similar set of guidelines possibly be evolved for each of these different groups?
You know, I'd love to see that. It was something I had hoped to do on a larger scale than just the street performers early on, but there were people on both sides who insisted on a much tougher approach to each other than the street performers and city officials and merchants ended up with on the question of street performing. There were other people that said, bastards, they don't have any rights. They think I'm going to... And, you know, the thing turned into a fight, and I don't know. You know, I don't... It takes a lot to revisit the issue, teach the thing to the new people who came in. Now a new merchant moves in. They don't want to go along with what the deal was before. They don't know why the hell these people should have any special rights, and I have rights too, you know. They want to tell us, yeah, no, I know.
Well, let's move away from the rights situation. I mean, I'm a big man for basic rights, and I think one has to push for them. But on the other hand, I'm also a realist, and also I recognize that the Street Performers Guidelines has been successful in many respects, and even more recently as kind of the marimba stuff and the
1 year ago, almost
1 year
today.
Ago, and where. But again, it was both the guidelines and the willingness of people to come in great numbers to city council that allowed those to come forward, as it was in 1996 when there was a concern about the drummers downtown. They were ramming through laws against the drummers when suddenly, as you pointed out to me yesterday, they looked around the audience at the second reading and it was filled with all these drummers and these people from different drumming groups they'd never heard of, the university drummers, from the Goddess, drummers here, drummers, and they looked to you and other people for some other way out, and they found a way out, which was in the voluntary guidelines. Do you think it would be possible to put together a set of guidelines? Again, I guess you said you've answered this, but what kind of guidelines? I haven't thought about it a lot, but the idea of guidelines for these other groups.
Yeah, well, you felt the need to stop me because I was talking about the problem arises when one side and then the other, or simultaneously both sides, are demanding all of their legal rights. And what this approach was based on was accepting the fact we do have rights. There's no question. Street performers are, for example, protected by the First Amendment. Okay, now do I have to fight for every one of those? Yes, I do have to fight to establish that there is such a thing. Now, but these are my neighbors. If the guy next door to me comes and wants me to shut up, you know, turn off the music I'm playing, he can't stand Patsy Cline, I can tell him, look, I have rights. You have 10 o'clock tonight, there's a curfew. Then you can come here. Till then, you know, get out of here. Yeah. I could do it that way. Or I could say, look, yeah, even if I have the right to play the damn music as loud as I want, the guy works nights, what am I doing? Why don't I just talk to him about not keeping his car in my driveway, you know, and see if we can solve something here. And so if people would back up, establish that they have the rights, and then be willing to step back a little bit and accept that other people have rights, and let's see. I think that that's possible, Robert. I love that you were talking about it in the conversation we had yesterday, the idea that, as you say, hacky sack players, skateboarders, or people who, you know, whose lifestyle you don't appreciate on the mall, if they have rights, but it's a difficult job. Somebody's going to have to re-up the agreement periodically, and more than periodically, throughout, and get the word out, and it's a difficult job. I'd love to see somebody trying to do that.
Well, I know that in 1995, Celia Scott came forward with this report, which I guess I passed on to you.
Mm-hmm, yesterday.
Which is kind of abstract, the work they did. These two mediators, Daniel Hallinan and Kim Hallinan and Daniel Rubin, talked to numerous people, numerous interest groups, the merchants, the tourists, the homeless activists, and tried to see what each of their concerns were. They came to the conclusion the downtown ordinances were just not good, and perhaps that's the reason that Rotkin buried the report, because he is a big fan of the laws.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen, once if numbers of people come to city council and look and say we can do it another way, and they're willing to work that kind of stuff out, I think we can see this, particularly this city council might be willing to go that way, even though it isn't going to necessarily please the merchants to death. But again, involving the merchants, I think, is a good idea too. I would like to see mass meetings with merchants and all these interest groups talking. And unfortunately, I'm afraid we're not going to see that tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the McPherson Center when the city council members are having their I think, token public hearing. But maybe it's hard to tell what's going on. Do you have any thoughts? I know you've talked to some of the city officials. You've been kind of keeping your ear to the ground. Are we facing a bunch of ordinances on July 9th? Are we? And more than that, I guess, I'm concerned. What I want to see is a change so that we can get the police to stop the enforcement of these ordinances that is prompting a lot of violence and reaction downtown, and also a lot of bad feeling, not to mention humiliation and so forth.
Well, my own guess right now, until something else happens, no, I don't think that they're going to pass any ordinances on July 9th. It's my guess, just from the way that meeting shaped up. It's too short a time, and you and others at the city council meeting made that point. I think it was heard, if not by all of the city council people, then by some. So what they did pass was sort of on the understanding that that would not be the outcome of this July 9th ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that ordinances aren't coming.
Right, and also, but I mean, I'm on the other side, I think this ordinance is all kind of a ghost concern. The real concern is that the police are enforcing these current bad ordinances more and more, and that we need to do is find some alternative to them. I think you mentioned at one time you would hope the hosts would be ombuds people, mm-hmm. who would sort of, you know, act as mediators. I know up in Eugene they have, when a person is accused of sleeping in a vehicle in the wrong place, they don't send the police. They send a social service person, mm-hmm. to try to find a place for that person to sleep. And, you know, it's the hosts aren't really doing that. They're just walking up and saying, you're violating the law, do something else, or
no,
send the cops.
I agree. The host program was intended by
Catherine Byers.
Catherine Byers and some of the other people involved in various committees and subcommittees that were looking for a way out, ended up with what became the host program, but its initial intent was that they would be ombudspersons. And prior to this group, that's how they were being called, ombudspersons. People who would walk up and down the mall. There was a lot of talk about getting senior citizens involved. There are seniors who live downtown who could be, you know, come to an understanding about what their obligations are, what they're not permitted to do, what's going on. They could, they have time. They could, you know, be organized into it so that they get to know people who are regulars downtown and get to, so at least every little incident, I mean, you talk to some of these people who are so terrified to walk out of their shop and go, well, you know, the truth is, they are, I believe it, they really are afraid. And they're afraid, sometimes, of some people they should be concerned about. And they're afraid, other times, about people who, you know, I mean, that's the bubble man, that's the kid, you know, they're afraid of every single one, because they don't know what the hell's going on out there. It all looks like one scary, dark, long-haired thing to them, you know, out there. And they don't get it. If there was an ombudsperson who was going into the shop saying, oh, you mean that one, that girl, no, yeah, I'll tell you her story, you know, if there was somebody who was hanging out and knowing both sides and could help cool out,
plus
80% of the problems are nobody's problems.
Yeah,
they're not problems. They're
plus,
just fear.
You know, plus events that involve people in both groups. I mean, I think having evening events downtown that involve street people and merchants and drew tourists to town would be a big draw. I mean, performers, festivals. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that
I think... But I think you're right, Robert. We lost the hospitality group.
I don't think we ever had it. I mean, I disagree.
Well, yeah, I know. That's where you and I disagree.
Yeah,
I think that there was a time, and there are some people who have been in the past involved, and there are people actually today who I like a lot, who are involved in it, but the group doesn't see itself is serving that function in any way.
They're the snitch center. They're a police substation is what they are.
Yeah, police they are the eyes and ears of the police. They intend to be that. That was always not a bad idea, that if there is a problem going down, that there was somebody who could call the cops. I don't think that was ever... But it became focused on that, and it became focused on they're there to serve the tourists and the merchants.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot that, no, they were supposed to be the guys... Okay, well, in that case, if that's what you got, then when do we get these other people who are supposed to be in between, who are supposed to know both sides, somebody who is going to step in and tell the merchant, no, you can't just chase them, you know. I mean, once in a while, somebody has to stand up to a merchant who's you know, off the Richter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because now and again, there are some. I mean, they got some, we got some, you know.
Oh, come on. Don't say that.
You know it. But who tells them that? I mean, what they get is response from the police, response from the community. And they say, again, and I have to say again and again, I hear it from the merchant side, I have these conversations, and I agree that they have rights down. They're our neighbors. If we're down there, we're their neighbors. We have those kinds of rights. They're down there all the time, whether they own the shop or they work in the shop. They have rights.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
My problem is that periodically they turn to me and say, well, look, you may not know this, but I have rights too, you know. And I say, no, I agree. Absolutely, you have rights too. But I keep hearing about other people's rights, but nobody cares about my rights. I have rights too, you know. And I say, no, I actually believe that you have rights. We printed them into the Street Performers Guidelines, the rights that the merchants have. And they said, well, I have rights too, you know. No, I know, you have rights too. Mm-hmm. I know. We know. You have rights. You do have rights. But that's not the big problem, is that your rights are the only ones not being respected.
Well, you know, it seemed to me, though, that, again, I continue to say that it's, and maybe you see this as too confrontational, but I think that unless people get together and make the kinds of public showings that indicate that there really is a large group of people that want to see things change, or at least want to see people protected, and their rights protected, whether that's the rights...
You know, Robert, you're talking about mass, you know, gatherings of people at city council meetings, which always turn into these confrontational hollering at them, and they I have rights too, you know.
But remember, no,
the street performers,
but think
to
of the think
city
of,
council people are trying to conduct this other business.
Sure, but no,
I don't think that that's
well, no, no. But remember, Tom, there were three occasions back in 1980 when you got together the Street Performers Guidelines, in 1996 when the drummers came to city council, and then last year when the marimba players came. You know, they were all very well behaved, as far as I know. I mean,
Robert, there are certainly times when I think it's a useful idea to gather the people who feel that they've been neglected or are being abused, to come and face the city officials, face those with whom they're having the problem periodically. My problem is with the repetition of that, and so that the whole thing always looks confrontational. I mean, the coming to every open mic, what do they call it, oral communications, in order to berate the people who couldn't possibly have solved this like that. You know, I mean, it's such a complex issue.
Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, there's actually several strategies to use, but I certainly think that unless people do come together in large numbers, that you're going to have the continuing process of police and host harassment downtown. I don't see how it's going to change unless people come together.
I agree that coming together in that format can be part of the process and should be part of the process periodically.
I mean, unless they, you know what they say, you know what Frederick Douglass said, that, you know, power never gives anything without a demand, and it can be a demand posed with a very, you know, reasonable tone of voice, or it can be a demand posed as a shrill shout, or it can be a demand as a scream. However it's posed, provided there's real power behind it, then it's listened to one way or another. I mean, and then it can be responded to in different ways.
You know, but unless you actually win the war, unless you take up the gun and shoot the other guys down and step on across their bodies to go accomplish your victory, your triumph, and set up your own...
I'm saying unless
that's the approach, then I think what you're talking about is, you know, creating the demand. That's true. But if you create this problem, you got to be able to show that you can stop it. Turn it back off, and then they want to talk to you. They've been trying to talk to Arafat because of Hamas. You know, they need somebody.
You know, that's
an
idea. I think we need Arafat and Fidel Castro to come here to investigate.
I have heard that the Al Qaeda is involved.
Well, Al Qaeda has been involved in some of the downtown disturbances. We don't want to really spread that around. So, we've been talking with Tom Noddy, who's a street performer man, and he's out there trying to help us, along with the rest of us, trying to figure out what to do. Come on down tomorrow to Streetwise at 12 noon at the Cinema 9, in front of the Cinema 9, in front of O'Neill Sports, and also talk to the City Council at 1. I've got a role in the
tomorrow, 1 o'clock?
At 1 o'clock at the McPherson Center at Front and Cooper Streets. That's where Porter and Riley will be holding court for 2 hours, and they'll be talking to the members of the public. It's not clear what format they're adopting, but I think more important than I continue to believe is organizing people themselves independently of that, whether it's a cop watch, whether it's a street union, whether it's folks sitting down group by group and figuring out a set of guidelines that they're going to agree to, regardless of what the city council does, regardless of what the merchants, should I say the extremists among the merchants are concerned about. And but I would say, again, and merchants are invited to come to this meeting tomorrow, too. I mean, I would like to see a lot of folks come, although primarily it's to organize folks on the street, because I think you got to do that first, you know. Tom, I appreciate your being with me. I am late getting out of the studio. Maybe if you're around on Sunday, you may be leaving town, but if you're not, maybe we'll try to line you up for a kind of a chapter two here.
I'd like to talk to you.
Let's do it again, and it's good to hear you. I want to thank you for being with us.
Sure, thank you, Robert.
All righty, Tom.
Bye-bye.
That's it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides. I'm out of here. I'm going to throw on a tape, or I should say a CD. I'll talk to this next caller off air, but Uncle Dennis needs the time. Thanks for being with us. Come back tomorrow to the Cinema 9 at 12 o'clock noon for Streetwise. Come back on Sunday.
And behold, in my you bow unto your god of gold. Your pride of mind shall be your shame. For only God can lead his people back unto the earth again.
Love, there that sleep.